Golf Smarter number 131 for June 17, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Master clubmaker from McGregor Golf, Don White.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading episode number 131 of the Golf Smarter podcast, which is brought to you this week by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Knowing the podcast can be downloaded and listened to at any time, you may or may not be listening to this show the week it was published, so I won't spend a lot of time on this weekend's events. But my guess is that Tiger's performance at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines was one for the ages and will be talked about for years to come. Hopefully for you, like it was for me, you got to enjoy the greatest Father's Day imaginable. Unfortunately, since my youngest was out of the country, I could only be with one of my kids. But after my wife and I went to the farmer's market, our son joined us for a hike and a brunch, whereby he and I went to an A's Giants baseball game in the afternoon, came home, watched the final five holes of the Open, and followed it up with the NBA championship game. Heaven! It was so great. Now, as for Tiger, sure, you want to see an underdog perform well, but there's also the element of being witness to what may be the greatest single sports performance in history. And to have a front row seat from anywhere in the world, wow, so cool. Our guest today is Don White, who's been making golf clubs for McGregor Golf for 37 years. He's in the Clubmakers Hall of Fame, has made clubs for more than 200 tour players, has 13 majors and 4 Grand Slam titles to his credit. This guy knows how to make golf clubs. Now, here's the backstory of the interview. I was hired by McGregor Golf to produce a video that promotes that Don White can come to a member guest event and custom grind clubs for the general public. I'll give you details on how to see the first finished video after the interview. Now, be aware that since this interview was recorded for video, the audio quality is very different than usual. It amazes me how you don't notice the difference in audio quality when watching TV or video because you can watch what the person is saying. But if you've ever just listened to an audio of a video, it sounds really different and kind of crappy, actually. So let's head out to Hagen Oaks in Sacramento and sit down with the master club maker, Don White.
Hi, Don.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
You work for McGregor Golf.
Yes.
How long have you been there?
I've been there for 37 years.
And how did you get started working at McGregor Golf?
Well, really, I needed a job. And McGregor was hiring at the time in 71. And prior to working to McGregor, I knew nothing about golf clubs. And it so happened that McGregor was planning to open a custom department, which were they was based in Ohio. And the supervisor over the custom department was hired the same time that I was hired, the same day, fortunately, and become a supervisor. He had already been doing custom-built golf club for various tour players. And they hired me to the custom department where I was trained by Art Emerson, an old predecessor. He knew we was well at what he do. And there he began to teach me the different things to look for, what professionals like, what they don't like, what they like to see. And he showed me all the options that we had, you know, in different grinds.
Were you trained as a craftsman?
In golf, yes.
When you applied for the job at McGregor, how much work had you? You said you hadn't worked with golf clubs before.
Prior to being hired at McGregor, I had no dealing with golf club at all. I really didn't know a 6 from a 9. You know, I really didn't know the numbers. I knew nothing.
Really?
I knew nothing at all.
But you had experience in working with tools and grinding wheels and things like that before? Had you had, you know, I mean, you've become a master craftsman.
Well, working with lathe grinders, no. Well, I was raised by my grandfather, who was very good at his hands. And, he was a sharecropper at the time. And, like I said, I was raised on a farm. And he used to build wagon wheels, doorsteps, windows, you know, for people in the neighborhood. So I, watching him, being raised by him, and watching him being by his side daily, you know, watching him and do stuff and become very good, I became very good at my hands.
I'm curious, when you talk about I was raised by my grandparents too. And so it's interesting. And I remember spending time with my grandfather, and it was more watching. It's not like my grandfather would say to me, "Here, I want you to see this. I want you to see how I do this." It was really up to me to see what was going on.
Right.
What about you? How was your relationship with your grandfather?
Well, I basically followed him at time that he had time for me to follow him other than work. And he didn't, like I said, he didn't pressure me into doing these things. Just something I just paid attention to over the years.
You got very lucky and you got hired by McGregor.
Yes.
But you didn't get hired to be a master craftsman. What was the job that they hired you for?
Well, really to have me in production and beginning so I can get the feel of what we was about to do at McGregor. And their accomplishment, they was intending to open the custom grind department. But I had to have various training to get the feel before I become a custom grinder. And as years passed, I just grew interested in the different shapes, different forms, different styles of golf club that is being built, that was being made. And Art Emerson saw that I had very good touch and I had a little talent. He took me on his wings and just began to show me all the different shapes and styles.
You knew nothing about golf clubs before?
I knew nothing about golf clubs before I became an employee at McGregor Golf.
And as soon as you started working with the golf clubs, did you realize that you were gonna succeed with this? Was it exciting to you, or you were like, you weren't sure that this was the right job for you?
Well, it always has been a challenge. In other words, I mean, you can from one transformation to another. You know, as far as taking just a block of steel and changing from one optical to another, changing a toe square, making a toe round, making a sole flat, or making a lead edge straight, hosel straight. I mean, it was really a challenge, and I mean, it grew on me, and I really liked it, become to love it. But I never thought that it would lead me into this. So.
And this is pretty good.
Thank you.
This is really good.
Yes.
My guess is that you didn't play golf either.
I didn't play golf.
At what point did you say, you know, I've been making these clubs, I got to try this game out?
Well, I started McGregor in 1971. Mm-hmm. I've never been on a golf course before 1983. I worked for them for 12 years before I ever approached a golf course. And my theory were that if I'm going to do this type of work for all these professionals, then undoubtedly I need to know why are these features being added to golf club, why are they there, I mean, what part do it play in a round of golf. So I began to take up, you know, like venture the golf course and hit a few balls and begin to love it.
And do you play now?
Very little. It plays me more than when I play it.
You're not alone, my friend. You're not alone. It does it to everybody. I'm curious. Did nobody at McGregor ever say to you, "Do you play golf?" I mean, how come it took them 12 years to ask you, to get you out onto a golf course?
Well, I've been asked before. I had no interest in playing.
Really?
Right. I had no interest in playing.
But you were making golf clubs.
That's the reason I started playing. I began to make golf clubs for touring pros, and people ask me, "You don't play at all?" That continue the question. You mean so you don't play? You make golf clubs for the best in the world, and you don't play? And my answer was no. So I mean, at that point, I decided, you know, the best I at least learn the game, you know, and see how important these different features are.
It's absolutely amazing to me.
Yes.
How long were you at McGregor before they said, "Okay, we want you to start making golf clubs"? I mean, you were watching, you were learning, you were in the craftsman. But when was it that you started saying, they started saying, "We want you to start making clubs for tour players"?
Well, I worked for McGregor for approximately 10 years. And in 1982, 83, they hired me over into the research and development department. You know, they paid attention to how successful I was, and that I had interest in the majority of the work they were doing. And undoubtedly, I showed them improvement, you know, to where, you know, they needed a designer in the department.
And you said now you've been there since 1971.
Right.
And you've made some clubs for some tour players.
I would say between 200 and 300 tour players in my time.
PGA Tour?
PGA Tour players.
Really?
Sure.
Are they difficult people to work with?
Well, they are critical. I mean, they are very delicate. I mean, the majority of them know what they're looking for. They know what they like to see in a golf club. They know what type of shot they're trying to do. They know what type of ball dispersion they like. They know the ball flight that they desire. And working at McGregor all these years, this is some of the stuff we do testing. This is some of the stuff that we've been able to accomplish over the years through our innovation and technology.
So I have to imagine that you had to learn a whole new language. I mean, it was one thing to learn how to design clubs and shape clubs, but then they started talking about ball flight and shaping shots.
Right.
And that must have been completely foreign language to you.
In the beginning, yes. And like I say, since working for McGregor, we have always tested our product. You know, we tested to see distance, we tested to see how far it rolled, we tested, even test ball flight, ball dispersion. And in doing this, you know, each player has a different swing pattern, they have different swing speeds, and they have different tight points of the ball. And so we put these different features in to allow them to improve their play.
Were there times that a player would come to you and try to explain to you what they want, and you just, it wasn't clicking, you just couldn't figure out what they were trying to? You got a smile on your face like you're thinking of a specific story.
No, well, it has happened. It has happened before. And it, like, I don't take my work home with me. Obviously, I don't do that. But there have been times where I couldn't get it right during the day, but I think about it after work, and it clicks after work. So the next morning, I immediately began to work on that point. And so far, we've been successful in basically the majority of the work that we do for people.
I have to believe that you've worked with players that are not McGregor players, too.
Yes, I have.
How does that... That's got to be quite flattering to you.
Yeah, it were, knowing that I've had work done at McGregor, done by me, and people become successful, win tournament, and everybody else get the privilege, and to get the privilege. I mean, you're right, it's kind of disgusting.
How much success have your tour players, I guess it's like your children, how much success have they had? What kind of accomplishments have they achieved?
Well, I built golf clubs for number one players in the world, that has become number one players in the world. Obviously, Jack Nicklaus, Greg Norman, and major winners. I've built clubs for 13 major winners in my life and 2 Grand Slams. So that's kind of accomplishment for me.
That's quite a phenomenal accomplishment. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Tell me about working with Jack Nicklaus.
Well, he was very straightforward.
Was he one of the first tour players you worked with?
Right. Jack was basically the first tour player I worked for.
Wow.
And he was very straightforward. He knew exactly what he needed. And over the years, Jack has kept the same head shape, sole shape, lead edge, toe shape. His club stayed basically the same all during the years.
Really? So he just can give you a call and say, I need a new 6-iron, and you know exactly what he wants.
If he can call me, anybody, say, I will need one exactly like Jack's. And it's already here. So,
has it been surprising to you the variations in each club? How much variation there can be in specific clubs? Because if you work with 200 tour players, nobody's going to be making the same type of club. Right?
Correct. They're majority of the time they use different technology among themselves. Jack always liked a straight lead edge, something with a flat sole, a very traditional toe. And there are other players that might need a flat sole, but they want radius in the lead edge and a square toe. Or you might want a thicker top line with offset. Or you might want no offset with 4-way roll, blunt lead edge, a round toe. I mean, it's a lot of different variation that can be done on a set of golf clubs.
Talk to me about the importance of being fitted for golf clubs.
The importance, it elevates your elevates your game. Your game improvement, you score better. I mean, this is the object of having golf club personally made to fit each individual. Well, we are a different height, we have different swing patterns, we have different swing speeds. And obviously, majority of people might turn the ball over, some hang on. To turn it over mean a right-hander, it'll be from right to left ball flight, and to hang on would mean a left to right ball flight. Over the years at McGregor, what we've been able to do, we've been able to test golf clubs, and we make golf clubs for each and every one, try to make it suitable and enjoyable to each player. But the difference between a non-player is that he doesn't know exactly what all these features mean. A professional knows exactly what he's trying to accomplish, whether he want a high ball flight, low ball flight, left to right movement, or right to left movement. And we've been able to achieve that over the years.
The look of the club itself, is that an important element when you're designing a club as well?
Well, when we're designing club for the public, and we're trying to make golf easier and fun. So that means we put the features in that make a golf club easy to play, easy to hit, and you go out and have fun with it. When you become a professional, you're trying to elevate your game. We're out to move the ball from one spot to another. These guys are out to score. So you have to grind, you put these features in to make it more playable. And for an amateur, he has no idea what all these grinds mean or what they are for. But you know, we make golf clubs for, like say, for amateurs as well as professionals.
What does a pro look for in a golf club versus what an amateur doesn't even know about?
Well, majority of the time, at a dress, they want to see how well it framed the ball. And they also like, majority professionals, they're a different type because we have different swing patterns. Some are pickers, some are diggers, and some are sweepers. So you have to, in other words, in building a golf club for the diggers, we have to apply bounce in the golf club, which meaning we take the front edge off, the front of the edge, head off, and we leave the rear. So, and striking down, the rear edge stops the front edge from going under. A picker, we do it reversed. We take the rear of the golf head off, and we leave the front, because he's not looking to leave a divot. The only thing he's doing is just picking the ball off the turf. And this is why Nicholas has become so good over the years. He's a picker of the golf ball. He played with a straight lead edge, a keel lead edge, and a flat sole. The way you take any divot at all.
And the difference between Nicholas and Greg Norman when you're designing clubs?
They're basically the same overhead shape.
Why don't you just say the difference between Nicholas and Norman?
The difference between Nicholas and Norman, basically, they had the same head shape. They had the same sole pattern. Greg plays with a straight lead edge, keel lead edge, up to his 8-9 in wedge. He has rocker, has camera sole, has rocker from front to back, and from heel to toe, and a slight camera from front to back. That's on his 8-9 in wedge. Nicholas set was straight lead edge all the way through from his 2 to his wedge. Straight lead edge, flat sole, very traditional standard toe.
Is this fun for you?
Obviously, oh yes. Yes it is.
Which part of it? I mean, when do you get to sit back and sit there and go, that was a great day? What parts of it really stand out for you?
When whoever I build a golf club for, build a set for, he turn around to me and say, yes, that's it.
That's the best part.
The best part.
And watching it.
Obviously, when they go out in successful win tournaments and, you know, play well, you know, that elevates me. I mean, that makes me feel good also.
What sets McGregor Golf Clubs apart from every brand out on the market?
Well, for one thing, is that McGregor's able to build any type golf club or duplicate any type set, any swing weight that you desire through our custom grind department. We're able to extend shaft and still apply the correct weight, shorten shaft and still apply the correct weight. We're able to change all these features on toe shapes.
There's a lot of golf clubs on the market these days. And there's a lot of money that goes into R&D.
Sure.
But what is it about McGregor Golf Clubs that set them apart to be, the, as you said, the best clubs in the world?
Well, like, first of all, McGregor was able to transform a standard golf club. We're able to, like, on site, like, we're able to change the feet. And we can even offer to amateurs and high handicap, the same stuff that we offer to a professional. We're able to do that on site in certain areas.
Talk about the amateur golfer and how you can customize your wedges. You're really known for your wedges, and
right.
You've got your initials on the clubs themselves. That's got to feel great, too, to see your initials.
Well, yes. Over the years, you know, like I said, I've done, well, you tell me not to do that. But over the years, I've been successful in basically the work that I've done up in the past for all these professionals. And professional really, in terms that really helped us design and give us all these different features in golf clubs. And that's what we do. That's what we're doing. We do today. McGregor does today is that majority of our golf clubs are built according to how we used to build them years ago. We know that a camera sole prevent digging. We know that a square toe is basically help sometimes help people to line up shots. We know that a bevel lead edge stops the golf club from digging. We know that a roll off heel and toe allow a golf club to be laid open at some point.
Don, you spend most of your work days in Albany, Georgia.
Yes.
At the grinding wheel, doing your thing, working with new product and also working with tour professionals. But we're here today in Sacramento, California at a demo day. You're getting an opportunity to work one-on-one with the public.
Yes.
Have you ever done that before?
No, I hadn't.
And how is that working out?
Well, I think it's working fairly good. Excellent, I would say. Now we are allowing the public to see what we do, and we're offering the public the same traditional head shape and let them see to where we can alter head shape and let them, matter of fact, they can customize their own head during the day. They can work with me and customize their own head. The same product that we offer to professionals is the same stuff that we're doing for the public.
And are you finding that the public is totally amazed by what you're able to provide them? Because there are small custom club makers in their garage, and some people have small stores, but they don't have the name McGregor Golf behind them to do custom club making. That's not something right. That you see on a regular basis.
No, it isn't. And I think that it's a good thing for us knowing that we can offer this to the public. It's something that over the years, find that these features on golf club make golf easier, make the game more enjoyable to play. And we're offering, that's why I might hit Sacramento this week, we're offering it to the public, let them know that, you know, that the professional, this is the same technique that professionals use to lower their score to win tournaments. So we're trying to give it, we are giving it, offering it to the public. So maybe someday we have professionals coming along with us, the professionals today.
Tell me about an interaction that you had with one of the members of the public today, somebody that you dealt with, and what you did for them, and walk us through what you spent, the time you spent with them, and what they got at the end of it.
Basically, we said I'd take a normal stock head. I take a normal, this is a regular stock head, and the majority of the people that I dealt with today, they didn't understand why could I take a normal stock head and where I could square off the toe. They was amazed to see that I could either round the toe. They was amazed to see whether I could roll the heel or the toe or put a roll on the lead edge. I mean, everybody was amazed. They didn't even know that golf club like this existed until today.
And you spent time with them out on the driving range. You watched them hit balls for a while before you did that?
Yes.
So, and did you tell them things they didn't even know about their swings? Tell me about what happened when you were with them on the driving range.
Well, I watched them hit a couple of shots and immediately, I could tell whether you coming in too steep or too shallow. And like I said, we don't teach golf. We be a golf club to match people's swings. And we can give them ideas what we think through our technology, through our testing, what all these features are built for. And these people were amazed at what difference it made in just a little time that I spent with them. I had a guy custom come in. He bought a wedge. He said, "May I try it?" I said, "Yes, go ahead and try it now." You know, I walked with him, hit a couple of shots. He came back with his dad. He said, "Dad, could I get the other one?" Right away. He just worked so good, so well, so I think I need two. So he bought a couple of wedges.
If the public were to go into a store and buy McGregor golf clubs off the rack without having customization, what is the quality of the product they're going to be able to purchase if they just buy it right off the rack?
Well, you still better get premium golf clubs off the rack, because like we have tested our product before, prior to now, and we know all the features that we put in. We know what everything means. We know what makes golf easier, what makes golf club works. We know what makes ball flight high. We know what makes ball flight low. I mean, so you'd be still able to get a premium set of golf clubs if you go and get a set off the right.
And if someone bought some MacGregor clubs, even here at a demo day, then they could still do some customization with you, couldn't they?
Well, I wouldn't be able to change the set on site, but I'd be able to do wedges. And so if you want a custom grind set of golf clubs, I have to go back to my shop and take notes from what I've drafted at each event and go back home and finish the set exactly like what he or she likes.
How long does it take to get a custom set of clubs made?
It depends on how many features you have in. Some features, areas are difficult to achieve, especially when you have to add bounce. All this has to be measured in, because every bounce is relatively the same on a golf club, but the numbers are different. So we have to be very careful how we put it in and make sure the club, make sure it doesn't bite or it doesn't stick. So in some cases it takes basically 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. What tour players have you worked with that aren't on MacGregor Golf that have won championships, that have won majors?
I worked for Tom Lehman. At the time I done worked for...
But you had, like you said, 13 major winners?
Right.
Wow. And mostly Nicklaus?
Well,
Norman?
Nicklaus, Norman, Strange, Azinger.
How is it that these guys who are under contract with other golf companies are able to work with you, since you've been an employee of MacGregor?
Well, at the time, they had leads and lead to get in contact with me. And basically, especially when Jack was up, Nicklaus was over the company, they had leads like Walcott was his right-hand man, and they knew that Walcott and Nicklaus worked hand-in-hand and first-hand, that Walcott had always done Jack Woods, and I'd done his iron, so they could transfer, go through him to get to me.
Right.
And it worked like this.
But you said Nicklaus was an owner of the company at the time, right?
Well, at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
But since Jack left the company, it also worked the same way that Walcott, he knew me, he still know me, years past, and anybody want a set of, they say they want a set of personal golf club, he said, I know the right man for the job. And they would always call me, even when Greg had a contract with Cobra. And I was still doing work for Greg at the time.
It's got to be very flattering.
It is very flattering. And because I've learned over the years that because what's on the hat or the bag, not necessarily that what's in the bag. This is where the public get
explain that to me. Wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
I've done work for people that might have had tiles on the hat, or tiles on the bag, but Don White Golf Club was in the bag.
And it's Don White Club, it's not a MacGregor Club.
Right. And some of them were MacGregor Club, it's just that tiles on the bag. Majority of the time you watch they get television exposure, they never show any of this. Very seldom show here. But I can look and tell my work anywhere.
How can you tell your work?
Well, all I have to do is take a glare. If I can get a close glare at any of the heads. I mean, I know if it has MacGregor on it, a tournament was won, and like most of the golf clubs, courses, whoever won, I've been to places where they got golf, who won the tournament yet last year, who won a tournament in 1980, what club they used. I'm able to tell then that I make that golf club.
Really? That's really special. I mean, it's one thing, I guess, to write a book and to have people purchase your book, but to be able to see your work being used successfully by other people on
people.
Television.
Yeah.
That's true. Wow.
And it used to happen all the time.
How's your golf game?
Bad. I mean, I enjoy making golf clubs. I mean, I prefer going on the range, hitting golf balls. I love that. I really don't have much time to play, get to play around the golf. Maybe I get to play around maybe no more than twice a month.
Really?
I'm normally in the shop working. I have family, and I love fishing.
Oh.
So you can't play golf on a bad day. You certainly can't fish on a bad day. So I had to split my time between the two.
Yeah, and they both take a long time.
And they both take a long time.
Yeah, and your preference would be to go fishing.
Well, I think fish tastes better than a golf ball.
And on and on we go with details that were just not necessary for the rest of this show. But I hope you enjoyed that. And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Audible has over 35,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded and playback anywhere. Just like the Golf Smarter podcast. Now, along with podcasts, personally, I love listening to audiobooks while I'm walking the dog, working out, or driving. It actually amazes me that once I start an audiobook, I find much more time to listen than I usually do. Right now, I'm listening to The Omnivore's Dilemma, which was downloaded from audible.com. So why don't you log on to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter to get a free audiobook download of your choice. Again, the first book is free. Now go to audiblepodcast.com, audiblepodcast. Knock it off, Fred. audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and check the show notes for today or the Golf Smarter blog for all the details. There's one more week to send us your thoughts on why you'd like to win the goodie bag of prizes from Sorta Golf. This includes a free copy of the book, The Muldooney Revisions, a six-pack of Sorta Golf balls, and a limited edition Sorta Golf bag tag with the Golfer's Bill of Rights. Remember, this isn't a random drawing as we usually do. The winner will be based on your commentary. And we'll be posting some of those thoughts on the Golf Smarter blog. Deadline for entries is Sunday, June 22nd. Also, if you'd like to purchase a copy of the Muldooney Revisions, it's available by clicking on the Smarter Shopping tab at golfsmarter.com. There are lots of opportunities to win right now on our contest page at golfsmarter.com. You can register to win a new wedge, courtesy of Eidolon Golf. Deadline for entries to win that wedge is Friday, June 27th, 2008. And of course, golf better at Edwin Watts Golf. We're giving away a TaylorMade Burner Rescue 2 and a TaylorMade Burner Fairway Wood. It's Christmas in June here at Golf Smarter. We are in the height of our season, and we're giving them away. So hopefully you are participating. Remember, you need to register for each one separately so you can win all of them. Go to golfsmarter.com and click on the tab labeled Contest. Fill out all the information and the verification code, and then start all over. Oh, yeah. If you'd like to see that short video of Don White that I produced for McGregor Golf, we've put that into our Golf Smarter blog under today's entry. The Golf Smarter blog can also be found, where else? Sing along with me at golfsmarter.com. Another interesting video that I've been turned on to last week is a five-part conversation with Rhys Jones talking about his redesign of Torrey Pines South. And if you just can't get enough of the U.S. Open this year, then you should check it out at calgolfnews.com. It's the California Golf Magazine, calgolfnews.com. Since we talk a lot about the value of a good mental game on this program and watching Tiger not get distracted by his injury or being behind, I really wanted to find a quote that emphasizes concentration. Clearly, there are hundreds of them out there, but today we close with one provided by Martin Nalty of Surrey, England, and he quoted Jack Nicklaus, who once said, "It takes hundreds of good shots to gain confidence, but only one bad one to lose it." If you have any quotes, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Hi, this is Michael Anthony inviting you to join me on the Golf Smarter Tips podcast. Each week, I'll provide you with tips and insights on how you can lower your score using the Mental Keys unique mental training program. Are you having trouble taking your practice game to the golf course? Or making those pressure shots? Tune in, and I'll show you how to improve your mental game and lower your scores.
Golf Smarter Tips podcast is free on iTunes or at golfsmartertips.com.